Turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start with verses 22 and 23, Galatians chapter 5. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit today. I've been working on multiple messages, and I think I know I'm going to preach certain ones at certain times, but sometimes you just don't get to preach what you want because the Lord interrupts everything and says, hey, I got something else for right now. Now, that doesn't mean that this is a now word for every single one of you. It might not. It might. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I already knew that. Yeah, that's nice. I hope you're not like people who have to have new food all the time. Any of you wives got a husband out there that you've made him the same thing and he's just like, had enough of that. I want something new and different every day. No, your husbands don't do that to you. I trust they don't. I'm not really one of those people who likes new food all the time. Sometimes I just like my favorites. How many of you got favorites? Yeah. And how many of you, somebody fixes you your favorite, and you almost can't eat it too often? Almost. You know, I mean, I suppose if I had my favorite food every day, three times a day, for a month, I might be like, okay, I need something else. Probably wouldn't take that long. But there's always something that we can pull that will feed us and nurture us and give us spiritual nutrition. And if anything gives you nutrition, it should be fruit, right? How many of you get enough fruits and vegetables? Oh, yeah, whatever. You know, yeah, we need stuff from God. So here we are in Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 22. And I'm going to begin reading there, and if you're looking at your scripture, you might notice something. So I'm going to start right there. But the fruit of Bible reading is love, joy, peace. It doesn't say the fruit of Bible reading? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let me read it again. But the fruit of church attendance is love, joy, peace. No? What? But the fruit of self-discipline is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, yeah. Now that might be the fruit of self-discipline, might be long-suffering. You feel like you're suffering long. But the fruit of good doctrine.
Oh, no, you didn't say that.
Wow. It's interesting all the things that it actually doesn't say, if you think about it. And that's just the thought that jumped on me while I was actually working around here by myself, doing some stuff. We got some stuff done this week. It was a fruitful week. Mike came out and helped me. The children's church is now completely refloored. Yes, I spent more time on my knees this week than any week in a long time. And I probably needed it. You know, it was great. We got things done. There's things that we get done, the natural things we get done, people we pray for, people we work with. I had a quiet interaction with a waitress at Cracker Barrel in Fort Wayne who I'd prophesied over before. And I won't go into the details of her life, but just, you know, it's just neat to re-encounter people sometimes. There's a lot of great things that we can do and that we tend to do as believers, if we really believe. There are believing believers and there are unbelieving believers. You know, there are times when we're not as believing as we should be, and there are other times when we think we've got it all together. And neither of those things really matter to God. He wants to give us the fruit of the Spirit. But there are a lot of things that we can replace the Spirit with. Does this make sense? Sometimes we like to replace the fruit of the Spirit and we get into the fruit of what we can do. I know. I struggle with it. Everybody struggles with it. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things come from the fruit of the Spirit. They don't come from our self-discipline. You don't get more self-control by being self-disciplined. It's not the fruit of a very highly intense prayer life that gets you all these things. Now, a highly intense prayer life may help you be in the Spirit, but it's still the Spirit. And sometimes we want to replace the fruit of the Spirit with the fruit of what we can do. And the fruit of what I can do, I don't know about you, but the fruit of what I can do, not so much sometimes. It's fruit, and I heard a preacher once say it's fruit in the original language, singular, not fruits of the Spirit, but fruit. And his point was, it's not a tree with 9 different fruits. It's a tree with one fruit that has in that one fruit all of this nutrition of love, joy, peace, et cetera, et cetera. It's all in there. Have you ever seen a commercial where they want to sell you a pill that has it all in there? Some kind of multivitamin or some kind of, there's a thing out there now where one pill's red and one pill's green, I think, and they've got all the fruits and vegetables that you need are all in there. Just take these 2 pills and you're good. And I don't know, maybe for what they're trying to do, that is maybe true, but I have my questions as to whether it's true. Everything you need. And so we have our suspicions, don't we? We look at some of these. Sometimes we buy it, and some of this stuff can help. I'm not saying it won't with your physical body. But the fruit of the Spirit is the real deal. No suspicions here. Everything you need is contained in that one magnificent Spirit. And when you start to receive from the Spirit, you receive all of this. It's all there. Just, I recommend you take it daily. While we're thinking along these lines, I want you to think for a second about what fruit actually is. Like, how does fruit work? Where do you get your fruit? How many of you go out and pick your fruit? Yes, you do. You go out, you pick your fruit out of the bin at the supermarket. We pick our fruit up in places of convenience. Used to be, if you wanted fruit, you probably had to have a tree. And you probably had to be part of taking care of the tree so you could get the fruit. We used to have an apple tree in southern Indiana. And I didn't take care of it, but boy, did it provide the apples. So much so that every time the apples got to the point where it was time to harvest them, and I didn't want to harvest them because we didn't want to harvest them, so we would ask people to come and get them or pick them or do whatever, but people didn't seem to even want to come and get our apples. They'd rather buy them at the supermarket. I don't know. And that thing would just, so I eventually got rid of it. I mean, I got tired of mowing apples. When I think of fruit, I think of something that grows. At least that's what I think God's thinking of in this context, in what God wants to do here, something that grows. So it does take time for fruit to grow, and yet at the same time, sometimes we think that we have to grow that fruit within ourselves, and therefore we can't get to the fruit until it grows within us. I need to grow in my level of long-suffering. Some translations make it patience. I need to grow in my level of love. Well, I'm not saying you can't grow in those things, but I think it might be readily available too. But think about a tree. Have you ever looked out and seen a fruit tree that was out there, you know? Sometimes we think of ourselves as that fruit tree, and we're out there, and we're doing like most fruit trees. You've all seen a fruit tree do this, haven't you? chew on fruit. That's what we do sometimes. We're trying to produce this stuff under our ability rather than accessing this stuff via his Spirit. Does that make sense? So I've heard preachers even say, you know, well, you need to start cultivating and watering and planting. And I'm not saying there's nothing to that. But sometimes, you know, we do weary in well-doing, and we don't know that we can access what we need from the Spirit. And I don't think the Spirit's trying to make that a hard thing. Like the Spirit's like, yeah, Hacker hadn't been too good lately. Make it harder for him to get to the fruit. Angels put up a couple of fences, and somebody released the demons, and then he can't get to the fruit. No. How many of you know the fruit's always there? It's whether or not I want to turn to provide the provider of the fruit. And if we get used to going to the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit that he gives us, that we partake of, has an effect in our life that makes us more fruitful. And we go to him naturally, and he supernaturally gives to us. I don't think we think of it that way sometimes. So as long as the Spirit is present, I believe the fruit's available. So that makes me think about what the key to getting good fruit is. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit. But the most important key to good fruit is connection to the Spirit. Whether it's sharing good fruit or receiving good fruit, the key to good fruit is connection to the Spirit. Let's look at the initial text today again, only I'm going to start a few verses early and get a little context. Galatians 5:16 is where I'm going to go now. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, when this was written, almost everything these people did involved walking. They didn't get out, you know, get up in the morning and shuffle around in the house and brush their teeth and take a shower and go jump the truck. The rest of their day was spent getting from point A to point B and going around and doing things. And most of the time they didn't have time to lay around because they had things they had to get done if anything was going to get done. And they had to walk. So when the scripture says walk in the Spirit, I think it means that ongoing functioning, you know, doing all we do in the Spirit. Can you clean toilets in the Spirit? Maybe you should try. It might not stink as bad. That's all I'm saying. It might be better. What is there you can't do in the Spirit? And then the question is, if there's something you can't do in the Spirit, should you be doing it? Can Holy Spirit be invited into every activity of your life? And if Holy Spirit's not welcome in your life, you're scaring me. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I believe that functioning in Spirit makes you more effective. The more in the Spirit you function, the more effective you'll be in whatever you're trying to do. If you're trying to pull it off by your own ability, by your own strength, by your own power, you're doing it in the flesh. If you're trying to pull it off with the help of God and walking in God and living in God and functioning in God, then you've got help. I like help. I do a lot of projects, and I get to points in projects where I don't know what to do. And a lot of times I'll just start praying. There's got to be a better way to do this, Lord. Anybody ever do that? I do it a lot. I like projects. I like doing things. I enjoy seeing something done and done well and getting something done. But then sometimes I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I believe God helps. And I believe it's a lot more fun when God helps. I really do. I think I'm designed to work with God. God wants me to have him in the middle of everything that I'm doing. And every time I do it my own power only, I think I come up a little short. It may be okay, but it isn't great. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That may throw you a little bit, that not under the law thing. The idea of under the law is our lack is sometimes obvious. It's made manifest. But when we work with the Spirit, he makes up for our lack. The law was given, the scripture says, to reveal sin. That's to reveal how short we come from the glory of God. So that we would realize we needed God. So that we wouldn't try to do things without God's help. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, listen to this list of nasty stuff. You ready? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That's interesting, throws that right in there. Is God saying take a shower? Probably wouldn't hurt. Lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sometimes we say, we'll not inherit the kingdom of God, and we push it all into the future. You know, you're not going to go to heaven. I would like to suggest that, while that's probably part of it, will not inherit the kingdom of God means you're going to miss something that God has for you right now. I'm already in the kingdom. When I became born again, I'm part of the kingdom. I'm a kingdom person. I should be living in kingdom life in everything that I do and everything that I say. And if I live in that, then I will have something that I won't have otherwise. This is yes. I've been trying to do that for a long time. Again, I don't succeed all the time. The flesh is a lot of work. The works of the flesh. Everything we do, in fact, outside of the Spirit works against us. It doesn't bring us that stuff that the Spirit wants to bring us. It brings us everything but that. That's what this list is about. This is the kind of stuff that is trying to work its way into our lives, and God's trying to move us into the Spirit so that we are not in the works of the flesh. And we battle against our negative nature every day. Now, verse 22 again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The law doesn't have anything to do with this. We're in the Spirit. And we don't need a law because if you live by the Spirit, you fulfill the law, the Scripture says. You'll go beyond the law. The law was just trying to keep us in line. But the Spirit takes us beyond that. Where we don't need, if you picture it, it's like the bumpers on each side of the lanes on a kiddie bowling alley, trying to keep us in the middle. If we're walking in the Spirit, we have a release. Come on, I'll get an amen out of our resident bowler in the back. You know, you get the mark and you hit that mark and the ball just goes where you want it to go and it hits that pocket and boom! You knock all the devil's pins over. Yeah, that's what I want. And we have a choice sometimes. Are we going to go after the fruit or are we going to go after works? Now, I want to be careful because some people say, well, yeah, oh, so there's no works. No, this has been a debate among theologians for 20 plus centuries. Okay, works and grace and all the things that go with this. I'm not saying there's no work to do. But let me say it this way. If you're looking at verse 22 again, look at it as I read what I wrote here. Because there are times when we love what we are working on. And we find joy in it. And it brings us peace. So even the patience or long-suffering that is needed for it seems to be fitting and actually good. Like it tastes fruitful. And the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness of God is so real that self-control becomes easy. Did you get all that? See how the fruit of the Spirit fits in when we let the fruit of the Spirit fit in when we go after the fruit of the Spirit by going after the Spirit. And it doesn't mean we don't do work, but when we're doing our work as unto the Lord and we're letting the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me, flow through us, all of a sudden we feel differently about it. This is life in the Spirit zone. So how do we get there and stay there? I'm glad you asked. John 15, verses 1 through 7. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, but every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they may gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I wrote a little melody to that when I was 15 years old. And I've sung it a few times to myself. It was the King James Version. We only had the King James Version back then. Well, we had more, but I had a big Scofield King James Bible. And if people didn't want to listen to me, I could just hit them with that. Big black one. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Still in my head that way. It's kind of why I like to use the New King James Version, because it's as close to the old King James as I can get without all the these and the thous and the thithers and all that stuff. This has always been a favorite passage of mine. Verse 8, by the way, before we stop. By this, the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If you really want to know whether you're a disciple or not, and whether you're living like a disciple and experiencing the kind of discipleship that you want to experience, you have to ask yourself, is there any fruit of that? Am I getting the fruit? Am I experiencing the fruit? Can I taste of this fruit? Am I partaking of this fruit? Is it working in me? Do I bear fruit because I'm fruity? I've been told that before. Yeah, but it really has this idea of being a branch on the vine, that abiding thing. Most of us in this room, I hope, have a place that we call home. I hope when you're done today and everything that you have to get done today is done today, that you get to go home. And when you go home, you'll have a place that you like to sit. Probably a stand with a remote control right next to you or something. You know, you've got places where you sit to eat, places where you sit to work, places where you sit to relax. Some of you sit in the same place for all three. And then when all of that is, you know, being experienced, then you have a place where you lay your head. So maybe all four. And that's, you know, and your stuff is there. And there are pictures and there's life that you live there and you go and that's home. And it feels like home. And you like home. My grandson, last time he was visiting, we didn't get around to it, but at one point he said, "Can we go back by the house on Sherwood Drive?" And when we told him we were selling the house, he wasn't very happy. Because his whole life, that had been our home. Home is where you really connect. We used to call homes abodes. Not we. Now, how many of you have ever invited someone to your humble abode? Anybody ever do that? One or two, maybe. Okay. Welcome to my humble abode. No, we've heard that probably. Our abode. That's where this word abide comes from. It's home. It's home. You got this place that's home base. You got this place that you go to. Yeah, sometimes home has to move. I get that. I've done it 17 times. I've done it four since we've lived here in 25 years. I've owned way more houses than I ever thought I would own. I've testified about that. That's just weird. It really is sometimes a little weird. To me, at least, because my parents lived in the same house forever, you know. That's how I remember it. Our abode, our home, is the place where we spend the most time. If we want to walk in the Spirit and see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in our lives, I think we need home. Need to make the Spirit home. If the Spirit becomes home, if the Spirit is my focus, if the Spirit is where I want to be, if the Spirit's more important to me than anything else. There was a singer named Keith Green, and in one of his songs he had this line: "If you prefer the light of your TV, you love the world and you're avoiding me." Keith was a little bit radical. I liked it. I need to abide if I want to really plug into the Spirit. And that's the Spirit brings me home, brings me to where I'm supposed to be. And by the way, based on this passage that I just read you, the more I abide, the more I am home, at home in the things of God that I'm supposed to be at home in, the more I will ask what I will and He will make it happen. I think that's because when you abide in the Spirit, you know what God wants and you start to line yourself up with the will of God. And when you're in line with the will of God, nothing will keep that from coming to pass. And God will manifest in every situation. Now, that's the key to the fruit of the Spirit for me. I want more of the fruit of the Spirit. I want more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in my life. I just did the King James Version of it. That's the one I remember the most. I want more of that in my life. The way I get more of that in my life is just to focus on God, focus on the Spirit. Take Him into every situation. Take Him into everything I do. Make that my home base and stay on home base in the Spirit, even though I may be moving around in the body. Mark 4, 18 through 19, though, says this interesting thing. And I'll say this as a warning. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. A parallel version of that same parable In Luke 18, verse 14 says it becomes, or the fruit doesn't mature. This is the parable of the seeds, and I'm not going to preach on the parable of the sower today and the seeds, but there are times when there's just too much distractions, too many other attractions, things that are cheating us out of what God has for us, and we become unfruitful, and our fruit does not mature. And so, I don't know about you, but I like my bananas a little green, but not super green. There are certain fruits that if you eat them and they're not mature, and I like sour and bitter stuff, but there's some things like, yeah, I'll wait. I want to let the fruit of the Spirit mature in me, and I want to receive of the Spirit, and I don't want anything to hinder me from the Spirit, so therefore I have to be careful about the cares of this world, because there are a lot of cares in this world. And it says the deceitfulness of riches. Yeah, you guys have no idea sometimes how rich you really are. And I'm going to keep reminding you, because you're well off. Like, no one in this congregation is poor. You're in the top 10% of the world for moolah, whether you know it or not. Now, I'm glad that you're blessed. And I suppose some of us could, you know, use a little extra money. And God wants to bless you and give you great, great things. But we have to be careful of these things. The desire of other things can choke out this connection that we want to create. This word of the Spirit that needs to be in our lives so that we can be connected to God all the time. And the more connected we are, the sweeter, the more mature the fruit grows. And it gets sweeter and sweeter every day. And that's what God wants for us. So as I try not to let the cares of this world, you know, as I try to let the Spirit be more in my activities and everything I do, then the love and joy and peace and all that comes back. And it then can overwhelm everything else. I know sometimes some people feel like God's cheating me out of that good thing over there. It'll never happen. God will never cheat you out of anything good. He will never withhold any good thing from you. He will just withhold the things that look good. But that aren't. And you know my testimony. I can even name some of them. There was Barbie, and there was Janie, and there was... They looked good. They really did. They weren't hard to look at. There were other job opportunities. There were other things that I could do. There were things that seemed like, oh, that had happened to me. I would be just so... No, you wouldn't. God knows and withholds no good thing from you. So here I am, and I want to recommend something to us. So everybody stand up. Put your hands out like this if you can. Yeah, like you're going to get something. All right. Now close your eyes and just say, come Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Do it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Louder.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Like you really want it.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I recommend. Not feeling the love. Not feeling the joy. Not feeling the peace. Feel like you've run out of the patience? Not feeling gentle or good or kind? Feel like you're out of control? When you're feeling those things, Stop what you're doing. I don't care who's around. Or go hide someplace if you feel like it's truly inappropriate. And stick your hands out in front of you and say, come, Holy Spirit. Come on, I need it. That's what we need to do. And when we find ourselves not receiving of the Holy of the fruit of the Spirit, know that the fruit of the Spirit's right there. Like, I don't think God made it harder than the supermarket. I think God made it good for you. And all you have to do is just take a minute, turn your eyes away from the flesh, and focus on the Spirit, and go, okay. Come, Holy Spirit. My spouse is giving me a hard time. Come, Holy Spirit. My boss is giving me a hard time. Come, Holy Spirit. They gave somebody else a raise and give it to me. Come, Holy Spirit. You getting the picture? I believe that if you'll start to do that, there'll be this fruit of the Spirit that'll just start to show up. And what you need will be there for you. So put your hands out again. Lord, I pray that everybody with their hands outstretched will just begin to find these truths in their life every day. That we will get to a place, Lord, and a point where even if we can't stick our hands out, even if we can't talk, our mind will go, come, Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that every time we reach out for the Holy Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit will be right there, that we'll realize that it's at hand, that if we'll set aside everything else and all the distractions and just let you come, that we will have that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance that we need in our life, that self-control that we need in our life. In those moments, Lord, not because we've done anything, but because you've done everything. Not because we've studied our Bible so hard or prayed for so long or faithfully attended church so many times or did this or that or anything else that we think we can do, but simply because it is there for us every time. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise this morning.